Elders. Just pick two people or three people and show them how to play soccer with Jesus. That was my vision. Can I just tell you why God? I believe God showed me that? Because he said, Hans, I want you to see that I'm a joy for God. And I want you to enjoy being with a joy for God. And all the seriousness and the stress, you need to let go and just play soccer. My wife sometimes says, Hans, I think it's time for you to go and play some soccer with Jesus. That's when she sees the stress on my face. So here is the picture that Jesus gives. He says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you. And he's talking about the presence of God. The very presence of God will flow joy into you. Not based on your circumstances, not based on where you're at, but based on his presence. And if you are not in that place of being in his presence or being connected with that vine, you can ask the Holy Spirit, why am I not connected? What hinders my connection with you? How many think that's a good place to ask? And here's one of the answers he might give you. You see, we live in a society that is determined to pursue pleasure. How many believe that's true? There's more distraction today than has ever been. More screen time. And I'm not pointing fingers. I spend probably more time than I should on my screen. But there's a tremendous distraction. And in the midst of that distraction, do you know what God says? Be still and know that I'm God. Mary and Martha had Jesus as their guests. Martha was busy in the kitchen. And Mary sat at the feet. And Martha was frustrated and said, please, don't you tell Mary that she should come and help me. And Jesus said, what she's doing is better, Martha. You're only going to have me for a little while. My friends, if you want joy in your life, you need to practice the presence of God. You need to sit down and close the door and find a closet or somewhere and just be still. And meditate upon the goodness of God. The presence of God will take some of your anxiety and fears and remove it. As Paul actually said. You will take distraction. My friends, there is a presence of God that will lift you out of your miry clay. And I know some of you are going to say to me, Hans, you have no idea the circumstances I am. And I don't. But God knows. But I know there is a river of his presence that can give me the strength to overcome the impossible. How many believe that's true? So in Philippians, my friends, Paul gives you the answer, the key to how to stay in the joy. How to stay in that place of his presence. There are, according to Brian Simmons, three joy stealers. Circumstances, people. How many have ever been around difficult people? Once. And the third one is worry. That's my struggle. But I have to say that there is another one. He doesn't mention it, but I believe there's another one. It's called spiritual warfare. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy your joy. So here it is. Paul, as he is in prison, shares the scriptures to me that is the key to live a joyful life. And it's Philippians 4. And I know it's a lot of scriptures today, but can we read it anyway together? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. How many have actually returned to those scriptures many times? Those very ones. Be anxious for nothing. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Rejoice. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice. Present your requests with petition and thanksgiving. With what? With thanks. With what? There's nothing that touches the heart of God when people in the midst of the impossible circumstances can begin to praise Him and give thanks. How many believe that's true? It's easy enough to praise God when you're on top of the mountains. There's no pain. Their finances are good and everything is good. Your wife loves you. It's great to praise God. But what about when it's not like that? Can you still praise God? Last Sunday we heard Heather. Heather is a disabled. Yet she shared how she has faith and love in God in the midst of her circumstances. Let me share something about these scriptures. And I got this information from Brian Simmons. So this church in Philippi was started by Paul. And it starts in Acts chapter 16. Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia who says, come, we need you. And so he goes to Macedonia, which is in the area of Philippi. And there, he preaches. And he delivers a woman from a demon. And they don't like him because he ruined their business. And they throw him in jail, him and Silas. In the midst of that jail, in the midst of not knowing the future, not knowing the end result, what do? When they're chained to the walls with shackles? They begin to cry, oh God, help me. No. You know how many cries I heard, oh cry, help me. He didn't do that. Do you know what they did? Praised him and sang hymns. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine doing that in the midst of a dark dungeon, not knowing if you're going to be killed or not? And there's an earthquake. The doors are opened. And the jailer comes with a sword, thinking that the prisoners escaped. And back then, if the guard let out prisoners, he has to kill himself. He would be executed. So he's about to kill himself. And Paul says, stop, we're in here. Don't kill yourself. We haven't escaped. And he's so amazed and shocked that they hadn't run away that he said, what must I do to be saved? And they said, you must believe in Jesus and be baptized. Amen? That's one of the first converts in Philippi. The warden of the jail. The next day, and the whole family, yeah, like Cheryl said, him and his whole family, his wife, kids, they were all saved, all baptized. And that was some of the first converts. And on the basis of that, he built his church. Now, Brian Simmons says that when Paul had a dream, a vision of somebody from the Macedonia, he believed that it was the warden. That was the warden that he saw in his dream. So now, Paul, many years later, is now in prison. And he writes to the church in Philippi, who was started by a warden and a few others, and tells them, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. Fix your eyes what's good, honorable, noble. It says in Hebrews 12 that the author and finisher of your faith, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and the shame. Let me ask you this question. What's before you? What are you looking at? I tell you, when I'm anxious, I know exactly what I'm looking at. And it's not Jesus. I'm looking at the circumstances in my life. Not a problem. The promises of God. My friends, there is a place in the heart of God where you can find peace and you can find his joy. No matter if you're in jail, no matter if you're sick, no matter where you are. I mean, it says amen to that. I like to be in that place. And my friends, you can ask Holy Spirit, what is it that hinders me to being in that presence? And it may very well be distractions. It may well be you don't take the time to hear his voice. There may be sin in your life, and the Holy Spirit will say, I need you to confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. There may be things in your heart against other people. You have an anger towards people, and God says, forgive them. You will not find the peace until you forgive. His presence is the Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit wants more than you do to be connected with Jesus. When you're in the midst of the crisis, fix your eyes upon him. I read this book years ago called The Insanity of God. Some of you have read it. No? It's an amazing title, isn't it? Insanity of God. And it's about a guy who he goes to the persecuted church around the world. And one of them is going to Russia. And he interviews the people who had been persecuted by the regimes that they lived in. And it was this one guy. I don't know if you know about the communist Russia. They did not allow you to be Christians. They did not allow you to gather together to worship. And this one guy and his wife had two kids, and they decided they wanted their kids to know about Jesus because grandpa had known about Jesus. And so in the home, they began to sing, and they began to sing hymns, and began to share the gospel. And the neighbors could hear it, and they began to say, we want to be part of that. And so the house group began to grow from 10 to 20 to 30, and the police began to see it. And they came, and they said, you got to stop it, or we're going to put you in jail. And so I'm glad that we don't have that problem here. So he said, well, I don't have church. We just have a little house group. I'm not a pastor. But they didn't. They said, well, don't you read the Bible? Don't you pray? Don't you worship? Isn't that church? They said, well, that's what we do, but we don't have a building. We don't have any of this stuff. So anyway, it grew to 70 people. And finally, they took him and threw him in jail. And in the jail, there was, I think it was 1,200 people. All unbelievers except for this one guy. How many thinks that's a bad circumstances to be in? So he did this every day. He would get up, stand by the bars, and he would sing. I don't know what song he sang, but if it was me, I would sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Okay, I can see your eyes. You're thinking, God bless this man with some gifts. And There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. I will sing that too. I don't know what he will sing, but he sang one of the hymns that he had remembered, one of the songs, and he began to rejoice. And then, if he found a piece of paper, he would write down a scripture verse. A scripture verse. And he put it on his bed. And the guards will find it, and it will beat him. I don't know why he did that, but I think it was for him to stay alive spiritually. He needed to do this. He knew that he needed to be connected with God in the midst of this horrible circumstance. One day, they told him that his wife and boys had been sentenced, and if he renounced Jesus, they'll be released. And he said, okay, bring the papers tomorrow. So in the middle of the night, he prayed. And he saw a vision of his boys and his wife sitting around the table praying. And he realized what they told him was a lie, to trick him to sign the papers. In the morning, they came with the papers, and he said, I'm not going to sign that because what you told me is a lie. So they were annoyed. A few days later, he found a whole blank piece of paper. And so, by memory, he wrote down scripture. How many has memories? How many could memorize so much scripture you can put a whole piece of page down? And he left it on his bed, and they came. And they were furious. And they beat him and dragged him down the hallway to kill him. And when they were dragging him down the hallway to kill him, all the 1,200 unbelieving prisoners stood at the bars and they began to sing the song that he had sung every day. And the guards dropped him, said, who are you? And 3 weeks later, he was released and lived to tell the story. What am I saying by saying that? That when you rejoice in the midst of your circumstances, it is actually a spiritual weapon. In Genesis, God says to Eve that your heel is going to do what? Trample on the enemy. I believe that when you begin to worship and enter his presence, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Your heel is stepping upon the enemy of your soul, of your joy. If you think about the things that is impossible and the things you have no control over, you can become very depressed. And we live in a generation that is many times very depressed. We are created to worship. We are made to worship. Not worship the darkness, but to worship Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I have the worship team come? In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you if you'll go out and sit in around the tables. And a little exercise. If you'll do the exercise, I promise, not guarantee, but I promise, that you'll feel better by the time you leave this church. So Lord, the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit is love, joy. And Lord, would you fill us with more of your presence. Will you fill us with joy? Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Will you fill us, God, with more of you, that the joy of the Lord will flow through us. Father, for some of us who may struggle with being connected with the wine, show us what is hindering that. God, we can bring ourselves to that place of being in your presence. For some of us, Lord, we need to sit still long enough to hear your voice. That still small voice. That voice that says, this is my daughter whom I'm well pleased with. The voice that whispered, I got this in control. I'm with you. Don't ever think that I don't love you and I'm not there for you. I am. I know the circumstance you're in, and I have a plan for you, and it is to not to harm you, but it is to prosper you and give you a future. I know the breakthrough that's coming your way. I want to tell you, my friend, you are mine. I shed my blood for you, Jesus says. I adopted you. It is my good pleasure to adopt you, to make you mine. And I know you and your heart, and I know your struggles, and I'm not too far away. I'm going to bless you and be with you. There is a place in the God's heart where you can hear his voice. And if you don't hear that voice, find that place. In worship, in the stillness of your home, by your bed, in the morning before you get up. I promise. My friends, many of our prayers is, God, give me this, God, give me that. Why not ask God for his presence? Why not do as Paul says, I press on to take hold of all the things that Christ has taken hold of for me? Why not say as David did, there's one thing I'm asking, there's one thing I'm seeking, and it's to be in the house of the Lord, gazing upon his beauty. How many think that's a good prayer? There's one thing I ask, there's one thing I seek. It's to be in the house, basically it's to be in his presence. And gaze upon the beauty of God. Amen.